And what I want to talk with you today is about the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. So if you got your Bibles, you can turn to it, Philippians chapter 3. We're going to talk about endurance. We're going to talk about not just starting the plan, not just the middle of the plan, but we're talking about finishing it till the end. You know, I think there's a lot of people that start things and they start off strong. Man, I know that's the way it was in my Christian life, right? Like, oh man, this is so awesome. God is my friend, man. I'm going to read my Bible all the time, right? I'm going to pray all the time. I'm going to tell all my friends all the time. And I went out like a fireball, right? And I'm like telling everyone and everything's going great. And all of a sudden I tripped and fell, right? And then I just abandoned it. Because I was immature. I didn't have a plan, right? I didn't know how to live my life. And so today we're going to talk about having a plan. We're going to talk about enduring till the very end. And I think it's really important that you have a strategy and that you have a plan. Let's read our verses. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 17. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. So he's talking about his old life, the things that he valued in his old life, right? You know, each of us have things that we value in our old life that were was so important to us. Maybe it's that, you know, maybe it's going up north, maybe it's hunting, maybe it's fishing, maybe it's how good an athlete you are, maybe it's how awesome your family, maybe it's how good a cook you are, maybe it's how much money that you have that you can rely on. Whatever it is in your old life before Christ, Paul says in verse 7, he whatever was to my profit, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, in other words, by following rules, but that law which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Now we're getting close to my verses. Verse 12. Not that I've already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take the same way of thinking. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Yet let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you. I have three simple points. There might be five, but I only have three. Forget what's behind, strain toward what is ahead, and join or press on to the goal. That's what he's preaching about. He's talking about forgetting what's behind, straining toward what ahead, and pressing on to the goal to persevere. Let's pray. Right now, if you could just kind of repeat this prayer after me. This is really important. This is what I saw in the Spirit as I was praying this morning. I saw that you guys would open your heart up to God's word, right? Because God needs to deal with some things in your hearts, in my heart. So right now, just repeat after me. Lord, I am here to open my heart to you and to your word and to the message that you have for me today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so for me, history becomes more important the older that I get. Probably because I've lived history, right? Like, history is a real part of my life. Like, you see funny hairdos on the, you know, on the television, the old programs. Like, I was there, right? Like, history is an important thing to me suddenly. And I think as we are studiers of God's Word, as we listen to God's Word, it's important for us to understand where people are coming from in the Bible. How did this book of Philippians come to be? And so just a little bit of history. You know, Paul is the one that started the church in Philippi. And it was through some very strange and unusual circumstances that the church came into being. As a matter of fact, I might need some help from some of our church school kids, right? The kids are normally in, what do we call it, children's church? So I'm going to need a couple actors. First of all, I need Paul and Silas. Volunteer. Who's going to help me? Paul and Silas? All right, come on. You can be Paul. I need a Silas. All right, in the back, come on up. Paul and Silas. Give me a hand. Come on up. This is really going to be awesome. Let's see. Who else do I need? Oh, I need a possessed girl. I will be playing the part of the possessed girl because I didn't think it'd be appropriate to have anyone else do it. All right. I'm going to need a prisoner or two. All right. There's a prisoner. Here's a prisoner. Come on up. You guys sit right down here. I need the prisoners here. No, you sit right up here. I need at least one more prisoner. Someone else? All right, good. Okay, I'll need a jailer. Who likes to boss people around? I love it. We need a jailer. You're being called out, Anthony. No, we don't call people out. All right, so if I don't have any children's church kids, then I'll need someone that's not a child to be a jailer. Christy, all right, great. You're a jailer. You're a jailer. Come on. Yeah, you fit in with the rest of the kids. I'm going to get hit later. All right, so here's a story. All right, here's what we're going to do. Come on over here by me. Come on over here. Okay. That over there is Philippi. Do you see it? See where the prisoner in the jail is? You don't know that's going to be bad yet, but eventually you're going in there. But anyway, you're going to walk towards them, right? And you're going to be sharing the gospel. And this is how you share the gospel. You open your hand like this. This is the Bible. Open your hand like this. Ready? Stick it out there. Oh, yeah, that's good. Right? And then act like you're talking to yourself. Just go, nod your head. Go ahead and go that way. Now, I'm the possessed girl, and I'm saying, listen to what they have to say. They are God's servants. Listen to what they have to say. Okay, now you guys stop. Turn around. Look at me and say, Spirit, you're not really talking to me, but say, Spirit, leave her. There, you did a good job. All right. Okay, so this girl right here that you got rid of that spirit from, right? You know what she did? She uses Satan power to tell the future. Palm readers. You ever hear of palm readers? There's something you want to stay away from as kids. But anyway, she was using Satan's power. She called Satan's power that she could tell the future of people, and she made lots of money. In the 80s and 90s, we'd call 800 numbers, and they would charge us like $3.50 a minute, right? Not that any of you ever did that. This is history. So anyway, and you know what happened when that spirit went away? She couldn't do it anymore. She's like, oh no, I can't tell the future. Right? That was bad. Right? Okay, now here's what's going to happen. You are going to get thrown in jail by Miss Christie. She's going to throw you in jail with these people. Go ahead, throw them in. Right? Put them in shackles. Have no mercy. They didn't like it that you cast the demon from this girl, right? And the town was so upset that they threw you guys in prison because you were doing horrible things, like setting people free, right? So guess what happens? You guys love Jesus so much. You know what you do when you get thrown in jail? You start singing songs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You start singing songs. It's like midnight. Guess what? You're just singing songs, and you got your chains on. You got your chains on, right? Got your chains on. I don't know what song you want to sing. Do you know any good songs? No? Do you know Jesus Loves Me or anything like that? All right, we'll have the jailer sing. Go ahead. No? All right, we're all going to sing. We'll sing Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me. And as this song is singing, the ground begins to shake. Shake. All of you, you got just start to shake. You got shackles on. You're shaking. Oh, my God. You're rumbling, right? And then they stop singing because it's very annoying. And your chains come right off you. All you guys are like, whoa. Whoa. And guess what? The jailer sees that the earthquake happened, that you were free, and she's responsible for you guys. Do you ever be responsible for something and then you didn't do it? What happens? You get in trouble? Go to your room. Well, that's kind of being in trouble, right? Anyone ever get in trouble? I did. Lots. Right? So then the jailer, she's like in trouble. Guess what happens if you guys get set free? She kills herself. She's responsible for you. It's a life for a life. These are crazy rules. This history stuff is weird stuff, right? And guess what? She would have to kill herself. So she gets out her big sword. She's about ready to fall on herself. And Paul and Silas, you say, wait. Oh, close one, right? And you're like, why? Why should I wait? And you say, because we're all here. Yeah, they are all there. And from that point, God did an incredible miracle. You know what? Paul and Silas told the jailer and her whole family, his whole family, about the Lord. And she became saved, and they're baptized. And this is an incredible thing that happened in the city of Philippi, right? Give them a hand. Good job, guys. You can have a seat. Good job. That's a city. Yeah, it's kind of a goofy name. It's got pie in it, though, so it can't be too bad. Philippi. Yeah, it's like Chicago, only worse. Right? So this is how it happened. Paul and Silas, man, this great miracle happened, and they cast this demon out of this girl that was telling the fortune. Man, you know what? The Bible's full of really cool stories like this. I mean, can you imagine that this would actually happen, like an earthquake, and that all the people would be set free? I mean, this is crazy stuff. Guess what? I don't think that this is unusual stuff. I think some of us are going to experience some strange things because God and his power needs to get out to show the world that he is king, that he's savior, that he's risen, right? He is going to do miracles to those who are lost, to those who are blinded. He's going to set them free. Right? And guess what? Jesus Christ wants to do the same thing in your life. If you haven't experienced it, if you haven't seen that freedom that Bijou was talking about, that the Holy Spirit was dwelling here today, you can and you will. God's intention is the gospel to save us, to save us all from ourselves, to save us all from sin. And that is a story how the church in Philippi started. 11 years later is when Paul wrote this letter. And guess what? He was in jail again. He's in a Roman jail waiting to be judged. Paul had a tough life. Man, some of the verses that he said I think are just incredibly amazing. And we're going to bust into this really, really hard right now. You know, I get a kick. The first thing he says as a good preacher, he says, one thing I do, and then he lists five. Right? It's just one thing, though, five steps. Right? One thing I do, it's my sermon, just one sermon today. Forget what is behind. I'm going to tell you, everyone deals with this. Everybody's got junk in the trunk, right? And we don't want to deal with our past. We don't want to deal with the things that hold us back, right? I think there's two things in my life that were junk in the trunk that I had to deal with and I do deal with all the time, yes? Guess what? As a Christian, I still struggle with stuff, man. I'm still working through this gospel stuff. I'm still figuring out the Word of God and what it says, how to apply it to my life. And if you're honest, so are you. That's why we do it together, because God speaks to us, right? There's two things that I see is junk in the trunk. One is sin, right? You know, have you ever had poison ivy? If you've had poison ivy or poison oak, raise your hand. Awesome. Any kids have it? Yeah, my brother. Well, you know, sometimes when you preach about something, you know, God's like, I want you to preach about sin. I'm like, great, how should I do it? And then I get poison ivy. Not really. It's not really the way it happened. But anyway, the way you get poison ivy is you're out in the woods someplace, right? And there's these little plants, little ivy plants. And some people are allergic to them really bad, right? And if you touch them, I was out getting wood. We're going to have a nice bonfire, right? And right before I went in, I saw these little green plants. And something in me said, you know, this might not be a smart idea. But as typical, I just rushed right in, grabbed what I needed. And all of a sudden, I thought, man, I got some mosquito bites. Right? You ever do that? Got a couple mosquito bites down there? You know, and it truly is poison. Right? I had just this little one spot. Right? And it bubbled up. And I thought, oh, man, it itches. You know, there's someone in our family. I won't mention who. No, really, I won't. She knows who she is. There's someone in our family, when she gets a mosquito bite, she has to itch it till it bleeds. Yeah. Uh-huh. There might be two somebodies in our family, actually. Gotta itch it, because you know that feeling? It's gotta get itched, right? If you just itch it a little, that doesn't help. How many of you slap your mosquito bite? Just kind of, I'm the only one. Makes it feel good for a little bit, right? Sometimes you just gotta get in there and scratch it, right? Well, sin's kind of the same way, but it's worse than a mosquito bite, right? I do have poison ivy, or at least I think it is. But when at first, if you don't touch it, guess what? It'll just go away. Nothing will happen to it. Just go away. But you know, it's like sin. Sometimes we just gotta itch it, right? And I'm thinking, it's just a mosquito bite. It's not what I hope it isn't. And I itch it, right? And suddenly that little red spot turns into a spot the size of a quarter, right? And there's these little pussy things sitting on the outside. And oh, man, you just want to itch it, right? You know that feeling? I still have it. I want to itch it right now, actually, but I'm not going to because I'm preaching, and that wouldn't make a very good example, right? I was out the other day, and I'm helping someone move, right? And so we're moving stuff around, and it was yesterday, and it was hot. How many of you moved yesterday? Anyone? Just me. That's right. I stand alone. And so guess what? You know, I'm moving something, and the couch brushes against my leg, and it's all sweaty. Temptation. Right? I just want to itch it. I didn't. I was very good. But sin is that way. Sin is like a poison that lives on the outside of you, right? And if you don't touch it, it's going to go away. If you don't yield to the temptation, it's not going to spread. But if you itch it, right, it spreads bigger. And then you want to itch it more. Sin is the same way. Guess what? That poison ivy, man, it would take over my whole body if I'd let it, if I continue to itch it, right? It's something that's disgusting. Man, it's poison on me, but I have to itch it because it feels so good to itch, right? Sin is the same way. There's no benefit to sin. You don't go off sinning and say, oh, my life has changed. I drank too much last night. I feel horrible. Yeah, living the dream. No, no one ever does that. You know it's going to be horrible the next day, but you don't care because it itches, right? Isn't sin the same way? That was his first point, man. Don't look back. Don't deal with sin. Don't put yourself in a position where you're going to touch it. You're going to mess with it. Keep your hands off. Jesus Christ has delivered you from sin. I'm going to tell you, if you're having problems with the sin and it's really got you captured, right? That happens. There's probably not a person in here that hasn't had that situation happen. You need help. You can't do this alone. That's why God called you here today. You need help. It's okay. Dude, we deal with this stuff all the time. You find somebody to pray with you. Says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, right, so that you might be healed. So the other thing that's in the trunk that we forget, and this one everyone likes to hide. I do too. It's our past wounds. It's our bitterness. It's our victimization thinking, like we're always going to lose, nothing ever is going to work out, right? Sometimes it's loneliness. So any of you ever this way, you just think you can do it by yourself? This is my Christian walk, you know. I've always lived my life this way. I've been tough. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right? I'm just going to overcome sin. I'm just going to do this by myself. Guess what? That's junk in the trunk. That stuff, that's bad thinking. That doesn't belong in your life. You need people to help you. Loneliness. You know, the other thing that I found in my life that really I have a problem with is sometimes I'll belittle other people, right? I'll act like what they're saying is stupid. You ever do that? Or you get really frustrated with them. I do this to Linda. You know what I mean? She'll say something and she'll have a legitimate question. I'll give you an example. This isn't us, but this happened just the other day. A guy told his wife to go pick something up from the store. It was 2x4s. He needed 2 5-foot 2x4s, right? And so the girl gets to the store, and guess what? There's no 5-foot 2x4s. They're 6 feet and 4 feet, right? That's the way it happens. So she calls him up, and his first response is, "Why are you calling me? Can't you just do something simple? I mean, this is simple. All I need is 2 5-foot 2x4s. And she's like, "Well, the truth is there's 4 foot or there's 6 foot. I didn't know which one I want to pick with you." "Well, what do you think you should get?" You know what I mean? He's got this attitude. He's like talking down to her, belittling her, right? "What do you think? Should I get the short ones? Because they won't fit, right? Don't you think I should get the long ones?" She's like, "Well, I don't know. Sometimes you measure, and then you measure too long. So I didn't know if 4 feet or 6 feet was right, right?" Right. It really wasn't a cut. You know, he does, anyway, measure too long. He's like, "Well, whatever, you know, do whatever you think." And he hangs up on her. Man, he totally belittled her, right? You know why a guy does something like that? You know why I do that to my wife? Because I like to be in control situations, right? I like to be the smarter person. I like not to have this frustration with what's going on in that moment, right? You know, a wise man, you know, draws back. A wise man, instead of belittling somebody, he helps them. You know, I think so many times, we're going to get into this when I talk about bitterness, but so many times we're trying to work on our spouse, we're trying to work on our friend, that we're like, on them, right? "You need to do this, and you need to do," we do this to our kids too. "You need to live your life this way, you need to make better choices, you need to read your Bible, did you pray about this?" Right? We're on them. And sometimes we're on them so much that there's no room for God to operate. We're smothering them, and God can't even get in. You hear what I'm saying? Because I'm guilty of this, and I'm willing to bet some of you are too. Man, lay off people. Pray for them. Pray for your spouse. Pray for that best friend. Pray for, you know, that person in your life. Man, just pray for them and give God room to speak to them. What do you think is going to have more power, your belittling words or God's word? Give room for God to operate. So I think, you know, there's a lot of things in our past, what the things that you've learned in your past that control us even still today. And I'm going to tell you what, you can't get on. You can't move on what God wants you to do until you deal with the junk in the trunk. You got to get rid of this stuff, man. You can't be going around sinning. You can't just follow every whim that you want. You can't live a reactive lifestyle based on circumstances, right? You've got to move ahead. You've got to become mature. You've got to get rid of this. What do you do with those old pains in the past? You know what you do? You give them to Jesus. You deal with them. You know, the power that happens when we hold on or we look back into bitterness is that we think the right thing to do, like I think the world has taught us, the right thing to do when you sin and you mess up or something bad happens to you, you just hide it. You just put it way down deep. Some place that nobody will ever see. Because if you don't see it, you don't have to deal with it. Right? That's our thinking. Well, that's a lie. Paul, the first thing he said is, the first thing I do. Right? The one thing that I do is forget what is behind. Man, you can't live there. You cannot live in the past and move forward. You've got to let that stuff go. You've got to give God room to move. You got to deal realistically with the circumstances that happened in your past. Deal with the way that you made you felt, and then rejoice that God has set you free. Let it go. Just let it go. It's not doing you any good, right? Maybe someone did something to you, and maybe you're like, "I'm going to hold on to this bitterness until this guy gets punished, until something bad happens to him. I'm just going to hang on to it until justice is served." Guess what? It doesn't work that way. You know, the only injustice that's happening in that situation is that you are stuck and you're not moving forward. Let it go. Move on. We have to deal with what's behind us. Forget what is behind us. Man, if you're having a situation that you have a problem forgiving somebody, or that you, you know, whether it's someone in your life that you know that you need to lay off and give God an opportunity to work, then pray with someone. Pray over that person, right? Find somebody that you can join with and you can pray with, forgetting what is behind. The second thing that Paul said is strain toward what is ahead. All right, well, I have another example of this. This one isn't quite as bad as the poison ivy, but almost as bad. You know, when I was younger, I didn't really have to worry about working out a whole lot. I didn't have to worry about what I ate a whole lot. I pretty much ate whatever I wanted to. Some of you still do, right? Any of the kids in this room worry about what you eat? No, you're just trying to get as much sugar as you can possibly jam in that body, right? Give me some pizza, some sugar, raw preferably, right? Put it in a Mountain Dew can, like whatever you can as a kid. You're just eating whatever, right? Well, guess what? That is an awesome way to live until you hit about 45, right? And all of a sudden, I got a different body. Wasn't the old, new, good, awesome body. It's the old, new, old body, right? And I got to treat this thing differently, right? I have to significantly change the way that I eat, right? I can't just do whatever I want to do. If I go out and I just like, oh, I'm gonna play basketball for 14 hours today, yeah, right? And I go out and play basketball for 14 hours, first off, I make it about 1. Second of off, by the time 1 hour is done, I'm sitting with my feet up because I tore, twisted, or tweaked something. You know what I'm saying? Right? You got to know what your limitations are, and it's the same way with in Christ. You know, we don't have a license to go and do whatever we want to do. We're not going to have success. We're not going to be living a godly, blessed life. We're not going to endure unless we have a plan, unless we realize that the choices that we make right now are affecting us. Right? We have to know this. We have a new body. We have a new way of thinking. The old is past. We need to put that thing away. Paul said it so many times, right? The old man. I got to get rid of the old man. My old way of thinking, my old past, I need to put it away. The way I used to live, I can't live anymore. Now I have to live in a new way of life, right? And this new way takes some strategy. It takes some planning for success. You have to eat what's good for you, in my case. Take care of what I have. I can't overdo it. I can't overindulge because there are consequences to that stuff. You can't live your life that way. You know, I see a lot of baby Christians. I see a lot of Christians living their life this way. Here's the way it works out in ministry. You think you're doing the best thing. You think you're like taking care of it. You're doing what God's calling you to do, right? Someone calls you up, they got trouble. I'll be right over, right? And you're caring for them and you're loving them. It seems like it's the right thing, doesn't it? Guess what? You have another friend. I'll be right over, right? And you're praying for them, and you're spending time with them, right? And, oh, there's someone else. We need to go help them, right? And pretty soon your whole life is filled with helping people, right? But you know what you forgot is your priority in life, your relationship with God. You can't just run around and give all the time. I don't know. There's this farce that thinks that, man, if I just give all the time, that God's going to be flowing in me. I'm going to remain strong. No, you're going to wear out. You got to do things in balance, right? You can't just be running all over the place. You got to realize that you're in a situation that God has a purpose, a calling, a plan, and you have a goal, and you need to stick to that goal. You're not children anymore, right? We're grown up. We can think like adults. We know how to handle our business, and we know how to live by priorities. We know how to plan. Press on towards the goal. I love this. Pressing on to endure. See, he says it this way. You know, I think so many times we forget what our goal is as a Christian. I forget what my goal is. You know, I used to think, oh, my goal is meeting needs. I'm going to meet everyone's needs. Well, that didn't work because I ran out. There's nothing left of me, right? My priorities in life, taking care of my family, praying over my family, teaching, you know what I mean, and living a simple, whole life. All those things went out the door because I was so busy doing stuff. Here's the goal. Here's the end point. This is what we want to do. And he puts it in verse 10, and I'm going to tell you right now, you might not enjoy this, but it's the truth, and it's not my job to teach you what you're going to enjoy. It's not my job to entertain you. It's to tell you the truth. Christianity is not something for the weak and feeble. It's a difficult life. Many are required to give their life for the sake of Christ. Here's the goal, verse 10. Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection, get this, and participating in his sufferings. Did you ever think of that as your goal? Man, I want to participate in the sufferings of Christ. Strap me to that cross and whip me. Right? No one thinks that. But the truth is, this is our goal, man. We want to suffer for Christ, because if we're suffering for Christ, then we're walking with him. Right? We are in his will. We are doing what he calls us to do. I'm going to tell you, when you're hanging on to eternity, right, what you're going through right now doesn't matter, because you're not living for today. Where is your joy anchored? Is it in the moment? Is it what you're going through? Or is it where you're going? What's your goal? Right? The second thing that he says in verse 10, he says, participation in his suffering, then become like him in his death. To become like him in his death. I'm going to tell you right now, there's no greater glory that could ever be attained than to lay down your life for the cause of the gospel. There aren't too many people that are preaching this sermon, right? If you don't come back, that'd be your own fault, because Pastor Jimmy would be here by next week, right? You won't be missing me. But the truth is, that's what our goal is. That's what we acquire to attain, is death, death with Christ. It may not mean a physical death. I don't know. Maybe it does. God might send you out to be a missionary someplace and require your life. God might change this country around and make it not popular to be a Christian. You might lose everything. Man, I don't know. That's a cool thing about preaching. I don't know. All I'm telling you is what God told me. And this is clearly what he says. To become like him in his death. Verse 11. And somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. That's what we hang on to. Right? This life is short. This life can be tough. This life will end in death. Guaranteed. It's going to happen. But we don't hold on to that, because we are not citizens of this world. We are citizens of heaven. All right. So that's our goal. And just a couple tips, a couple things that you need to learn. Recognize your faults. Know what they are. Do you know what your faults are? You know? I mean, do you make bad decisions when you're hungry? Right? Do you do stupid things when you hang out with stupid people? Right? Is drinking a beer a bad decision because it leads to a case? You know, what are your faults in life? What is it? Do you need to guard your time? Otherwise, you're going to be running all over the place. Right? Do you need to set a schedule? Man, know your faults. Right? It's okay. We all have faults. Right? Some of you would be petrified to do what I'm doing. Right? Stand in front of people and talk. Right? You'd be like, hey, whatever was to my profit. Right? I can see it. Dude, that's cool. No one's asking you to do that, but guess what? You also have strengths, right? I don't like going out and mowing the lawn when it's 95 degrees. Don't like to do it. Right, honey? Hear an amen in the back. Right? I just don't like to do it. But guess what? Some of you are like, dude, I'd do that all day. Right? So we all have different gifts. We all have different things. We all have different streaks. We have different weaknesses that God has put us all together to create a complete picture of who Christ is, and to create a complete picture of what a community is like. There are people in here who have no wisdom. I'm not pointing any fingers. I point over the top of everyone like that. Right? There are people in here that have a lot of wisdom. Get together. Right? Get together. If you need help, maybe there's someone who has a gift, you know, to counsel people, to work with people through tough things in marriage. Man, get a hold of them. Get some help, right? That's their strength. Maybe that's not your strength, working out relationships. Know your strengths. Know your weaknesses. The next thing and the final thing is, and this point is, routine. You know what? Schedule good things in your life. Schedule necessary things in your life. You need to know what to attend and what not to attend. You know, don't just go to something because you feel like, oh, I need to go. Someone's going to be disappointed if I don't show up. right? Follow what God says. Put your routine together, man. Do what your priorities dictate. Balance in life. That's what you need. Don't live reactively. Have a plan. Know what your priorities are. Know what your goals are. If you're a mom or a dad, you know what your number one goal is? Well, to know God. You know what your number two goal is? To love your spouse. You know what your number one, three goal is? To take care of your children. They're your priority, right? You know, if you're running around doing other things and you're not taking time, then guess what? You're out of bounds, man. You're unbalanced. Take care of the important things first. Take care of that relationship with your spouse. Pray with her. You know what I mean? Give her to God. Be number one, tight together, right? You know, take time to care for that and take care of that. For your children, make sure that they know God's word. Make sure that they know where you stand with Christ. Make sure you minister them as a number one priority, right? So I know Christians, they'll run all over the place and their kids don't get any attention, right? And all of a sudden their kids, man, you know, I don't know, my kids are really having problems right now and they're making bad choices. Well, you know, make them a priority, man. Love them. I'm not saying that would solve the problem, but I just mean sometimes we need to take a step back and make our families and our spouses a priority. Doing good is great, but it's got to be in balance. Have a good routine, man. Think about it. Right now I'm in one of those spots in life where I have a lot of things going. We have middle school is on, middle school ministry is on Wednesday night, Sunday night is high school, and then Thursday night is, we just started a ministry with the Pipers, which is the college and career age. That's three nights a week. Plus, I'm a full-time student, right? And I have a part-time job that I work 3 days a week. Guess what? This isn't going to fly. I'm smart enough to figure that out, right? I need to make a change someplace, right? I need to have a day off. I need to have a point where I can just settle back. Linda and I have been talking about this. So something's going to happen, you know, in my schedule. Don't know what it's going to be. Don't know what's going to happen. But, man, I believe God called me to start all these things. But sometimes you start stuff and you hand it off to faithful people. So, by the way, our college-age Bible study is really going well. We're figuring it out. If you're looking for, and I know that we have some college-age kids here, we meet on Thursday night, 6:30 to 8-ish. And if you're looking for a community of people who have their focus of following Jesus Christ, who pray for each other, right, who give testimonies, who have really built, you know, we're working hard to build unity and to build a purpose to live a Christ-like life. If you're looking for that kind of community that you can be built up and that you can be loved and you can be cared for, then I want you to come. We'd love to have you. Maybe God's calling you to come. You know, we pray for each other, we love each other deeply, and we're going to be there for each other. So it's not about me or the Pipers standing up like this on a Sunday morning and preaching at somebody. It's more of a relational community that we built, because that's how the Holy Spirit moves. So anyway, your routine. I'm getting there. Join with others. Did you notice that he said that in the very end in our passage? I think it was verse 17. I made sure I put it on there. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, the power of being discipled is amazing. It's a life-changing thing. You need to be discipled. You need to have someone to walk with you, right? The other thing is, if you've been a Christian a while and you're like, you know what, maybe it's time for me to start to give. The power of being a discipler is just as powerful. God brings those two people together, and in the midst of that communication, in the midst of the Holy Spirit and those two people or three people or four people working together, man, God's power is magnified, right? Some of the things that you'll learn if you're being discipled or you're being mentored, these are just things that I wrote down off the top of my head. But one is how to spend your time, how to prioritize in life. I think a lot of times we don't realize, without someone else looking at our life, we, you know, our priorities are off and we don't even realize it. How to make a good decision. Good decisions are not easy to make sometimes. The one that seems right sometimes is the wrong decision, right? Sometimes you need to be bold and chase it, and sometimes you need to lay back. right? Sometimes you need to prune something out of your life, and sometimes you need to grow something. And these are tough decisions. And that's what a mentor or a disciple will make, how to make a good decision. Knowing what your faults are, knowing what your strengths are, applying biblical principles to everyday life. You know, sometimes you can just read the word and then you don't realize how it's applied. You don't realize, wow, in this situation, if I would have leaned on what God said instead of relying on myself, man, it would have been so much better, right? When to apply God's word and use the principles in everyday life. You need to reach out. If you're a person and you're doing it alone or you've never heard of being discipled or never being a discipler, I'll tell you what, you contact us here at church. You contact me, you contact Pastor Jimmy, you contact Sarah, you contact someone in leadership and say, I need to be discipled, right? Here's another thing that you can do. If you find somebody that you think, man, I like the way that they live their life, right? I really like the way that they do things. I really like the way that they act under pressure, you know? Or maybe you can relate to them and like, I would kind of like to be in that business. You know what you need to do is figure out a way to spend time with them. Don't wait for them to come to you. Man, sometimes you got to be bold in life. If you see somebody that you like, you know what, I would love to be discipled by him. Go to them and say, would you disciple me? And they'll probably freak out. Right? They'll be like, what? Because people don't do that nowadays. But we're a family. We're a community. Find somebody that lives life the way that you want to live it and reach out to them. Right? Figure out a way that you can spend time, that you can be influenced by them and who they are. All right. I just want to read a couple more verses, and then I have a word that the Lord told me to give you this morning. I'm just going to read verses 15, and I'm going to read through 4:1. That's not going to be up on the board. It's going to end at 17, but I'm making a little adjustment here. Here's the end. All of us, then, who are mature, should take the same view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too will God make clear to you. Only let us live to what we have already attained. Verse 17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enable him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And I love 4:1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I encourage you, the things that God teaches you, the things, the principles that are in Philippians chapter 3, the things I talked about today, these can be life-changing things. Some of you have stuff in your trunk that you need to just let go of. Some of you are holding on to bitterness with people or the past, right? And you're living life the same way that you always did. You need to just let it go. Some of you have never sat down and said, I need a goal. What does my goal look like? I need to live my life in a certain way and maybe be discipled by somebody, be mentored by somebody, right? I encourage you, just like he said in 4:1, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way. Persevere. Christian life is not an easy life. You actually have to think. You actually have to rely on God's power rather than your own. You're not going to make it on your own. Your own power is going to fade, but God's power, it's not going to fade. As I prayed this morning, actually, I've been praying a lot about this. Whenever I speak, you know, there's a couple weeks ahead of time. And, you know, I just talk to the Lord about what he wants to say. Because preaching and speaking is not about what I have to say. It's not about building me up. It's not about being entertaining. It's not about any of that stuff. You know what preaching is? Hearing from God and saying what he says. Simple. Just hear from God and say what he wants to say. So I say, God, what do you want me to tell him? What is the last thing that you want ringing in their ears as they go? And God really spoke to my heart, and he said this. He said, there's a new season in life starting. A new season. There was an old season, right? And it seemed right. It seemed full of life. But you know what? Right now, it's instead of enjoying the things that I used to enjoy, they're falling dead off of me, like the leaves changing. They need to just fall off. They need to go away. There's a new season coming. A season that is going to forever change your life. A season where God is going to touch your family. A season where God is going to change hearts. A season where God is going to set you free from that burden that you've been carrying. A season where that junk that was in your life before, that finally you'll be free of it. You'll be free to serve him. God is calling you to be a leader. God is calling you to lead. He's calling you to be on a mission for him. He's calling you to do great things, but you can't do it until you let the leaves go of your past. You can't do it until the things that once had influence you, they're dying, and you need to just shake them off. God wants to do that for you today. I believe that our altar time, God already did it. It was lined up exactly what I felt in my spirit. So here's what I want to do. I just want to dismiss in prayer. I want you guys, if you wouldn't mind standing up with me, and I'm gonna pray. It won't be long, I promise. But who cares? We're in God's presence. And there's no Packer game at noon. Let's pray. If today something that the Lord said through me struck you, and you know that you need to let something go, or you know you need to have a plan, or you know you need to reach out to have a mentor, right? If any of that stuff struck you, and you're like, yeah, I need to do that. If maybe when I talked about sin, you realize, man, I need to shake this thing. I need to stop itching. If any of that struck you, then everyone's eyes are closed, everyone's head is bowed. I'm not even going to look because I don't care. This is God's work. I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray over you. Right? Just raise your hand. Be bold, be strong. Lord, you see the hands. Lord, I don't even see them. They're yours. Lord, this is a harvest for you, where you are reaping people. You are loving people. These are your children that you wish to set free. Lord, I pray that you would break the bondages in Jesus' name. That you would truly set them free. Lord, just like in fall as the dead leaves fall, Lord, let these things fall. Break the chains, for you have come to set the captive free. Father God, I pray with those hands that are lifted up, Lord, that you would give an opportunity for obedience. An opportunity for obedience, Lord. That you would lead them and guide them. That you would fill them with your spirit, Lord, to move and be filled with boldness to accomplish what you called them to do. Lord, it's a new year. It's a new season. Father God, you call out your harvest. Lord, I pray that you bring it in right now. Lord, I pray that your spirit would just flood. Lord Jesus, I'm not just saying this place, and I'm not just saying me. I'm not talking about just the people in this place. But Lord, flood everybody that they touch. Flood everything that they do. Flood those people who are called by your name, who haven't been told of the gospel. Flood into their lives. Lord Jesus, this gospel is a city on a hill. It's a light in the darkness. Lord, flood them with your light. Flood them with your love. For the glory of your kingdom. For the honor of your power. Lord, just like the word said today, Lord, that we need to live our life with our hands open to anything that happens here on earth, but we need to grasp eternity. Lord Jesus, we grasp eternity. I just want to encourage you, everything that happens to you, every little thing, whether it's a poison ivy on your ankle, or you drop something, or you bump into somebody, or you're thinking about somebody, none of those are by accident. They're not random things that happen in your life. God is moving in your life. Every little thing he's trying to talk to you. If you're like, geez, that's curious. I wonder why that happened. Just pray this prayer. Just say, God, give me your wisdom in this situation. Why did this happen? Dude, the thing that is our strength is the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is walking with him. And you're with him. So I encourage you with this today. Every little thing, don't let them pass by. See God. Lord, what are you telling me?